Thank you for tuning in to Live Paranormal Spotlight Radio on LiveParanormal.com. Hosted by owners Robert Zarek and Nikki Paranormal. Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of Live Paranormal Spotlight Radio. My name's Nikki Paranormal, and I'm just one of the hosts this evening. The other one's Rob. Let's go ahead and bring him in live.
Hey, hello. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good evening. I'm fine.
Yeah?
Not too bad.
You're good?
I'm okay. All of the above.
Wow. That's a lot of good things to be related to there with your day. That's good.
Amazing. You are good. I should say. Yeah,
amazing.
Yeah, I'm excited for tonight.
Oh, my.
It's always good to have a good friend on. And,
yeah.
You know, Chip Coffey's been a good friend to us for, oh, my God, I think it's been, I'll have to ask him how long, but it's been more than, when you say, you know, a hot minute.
More than a hot minute.
It's been
more
even
than
longer,
a hot minute.
Hot minute times two. And that still
it's
sounds
been a
awful,
few hot minutes.
Like, multiple.
It's so much better when I say it. You're just,
it does.
You just don't have it.
Hot
I do.
Minute in me, it does not, it sounds dumb. And
it does when
do
you say
it.
I'm sorry.
It does.
You're right. There is nothing you can
I'm,
do about it, no matter, you just can't do it.
I am one of those people that, like, there's certain phrases that you look at and you're like, yeah, it doesn't match up to you at all. And, you know, some people
right.
get away with saying anything, but... You know, there's multiple things that even myself, I say something to you, and I'm like, man, did that sound as dumb coming from my mouth as I thought it did? And you're like, it's
and as
awful.
I always tell you, yes, 100%, yes.
Yes.
Because I'm honest.
And
I can't help that.
And that's fair. And
yeah,
I'm sure
so.
Chip will tell me the same thing.
Let's get his take on it.
Let's just do
his
it.
Take
let's,
on the hot minute.
Monologue. Screw the opening monologue. Let's just bring Chip Coffey in.
Let's just bring him in. All right. Hey, Chip.
I was on hold for a hot minute, you guys.
Oh,
see? It sounds good when he says it. Boom.
It did sound good when
he
said hot minute. I don't know what it is, but there are certain words that when I say it, it just doesn't sound like it sounds either stupid or dumb or however you want to put it. It just doesn't sound right. And hot minute is one of those things that I think people just think would never come out of my mouth. So when I say it, it's like, sounds not right. But when you say it, it's like perfect.
Well, what can I say?
Maybe it's the way just,
yeah,
me.
Some have it, some don't.
Nikki and I have got it, and ..
Sorry, Rob, you don't.
Yeah. I'm still trying.
Don't
try Nikki,
anymore. It's embarrassing.
Nikki?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, don't. Just
yeah,
don't.
Same. At least we agree
that's
on that, 100%. Don't do it, Rob.
100, 100, in red, like on social media, 100.
That's right.
After tonight's show, I'm going to be looking in the mirror practicing hot minute. Like,
hot minute.
Where to stretch
no,
it,
no.
Hot minute. Is it hot
sounding
minute?
Sounding better as
hot
you
minute.
Say it, but you still don't have it.
And I bet he wouldn't sound really cool saying, how long has it been since we've been talking to since we've talked to each other? Oh, it's been a minute.
Yeah,
right.
Well,
you're even that sounded good.
Yeah. There's been
I think
so
Chip
many
might be able to say
I'm,
anything and make it sound good.
It does. I think you stress the words on in the right parts where maybe I lack in that department.
You do.
Well, sounds like a personal problem to me.
It is.
Yeah.
It's an issue that I have to work through, but just one of many issues. I was saying. No, go ahead.
We'll test you on it later.
Okay.
That's
I'll
right.
be practicing hot minute.
It'll be a hot
how
minute before we test
Chip?
You on it. But I don't have it, more than a hot minute. It's been a minute. I don't know how many minutes it's been, actually. It's been a long time. I mean, you know, I've been involved in the paranormal arena now professionally. Would you believe that this July is 19 years?
Wow.
And, you know, I've always been surrounded by the paranormal, but professionally I've worked in the paranormal arena as a psychic and a medium for 19 years this year.
Wow. That's awesome.
Well, I was I was looking back at some of our stuff together, and I think we can date back to you, like around 2011, 2012. So we're coming in on 10 years, I think, of like, you know, getting, I would say friends. I'm not sure what you would say. Like, you're like, probably, I know that guy. That's probably the best I'd get, but.
Wow. How do I even respond to that, right? I can just nod and grin, you know, I guess. That's, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That a-hole? I know that a-hole.
Yep, that's it. Ding, ding, ding.
Yep.
We got a winner.
I get that so often. I just don't understand.
Rob always says to me, well, I hate to ask you for this. And I'm like, go ahead. I know that we're later, we're going to do something really special, like at the 11 o'clock hour. And so Rob says, I really hate to ask you to do this, but, and I'm like, Rob, I'm going to do it. You know I'm going to do it. You know, just ask me for what you want. I'm going to do it. You know I'm going to do it.
Right. Yeah.
Well, and I appreciate that. And we've always appreciated you. And I think
of course, you know, there's no reason to be one of those guys. You know, if you're going to have friends in the paranormal arena, have friends. And if you're not going to be friends with somebody, then don't make a big deal out of it. It's not, you know.
Amen.
Why stir up drama? Drama's for television and bad television. And, you know, I just, the world gets too dramatic sometimes. So, you know. I'm not gonna buy into that. There's enough stuff going on. We've got all this craziness that's going on in the world right now, and you know, we're supposed to be giving people a respite from the crap that's going on by doing shows like this. We're supposed to be making people, you know, think and feel good and have a good time. So, rah rah, that's what we're here for, right?
No, definitely. And you know, we've kind of added to our broadcasting, you know, because now with our syndications to like iHeart and, you know, some of the other big ones, it's been really interesting. And we've decided to do what we call like a free reading night, where we have, you know, psychics come in and they offer, you know, like yourself, they offer either one prize or do multiple on-air calls. And, you know, people are real appreciative of it. And I think that with all the stuff going on, it really...
Yeah.
Give somebody something to look forward to. You know,
I've been home today is 50, I think 53 days for me that I haven't left my house because, you know, I'm one of those people that I'm of a certain age. I'm over 60 years old. I have a couple of medical conditions. I have an asthmatic condition and I'm a diabetic. So I'm in one of those high risk categories that if I contracted the virus, it probably wouldn't work out well for me. So I'm taking every precaution that I know to stay healthy, and I urge other people, irrespective of the fact that the world may be opening up, and I really, you know, think it's a little too soon, especially since I live in Georgia and they kind of threw the doors open in my state, I'm staying my happy butt at home until I know that it's a lot more safe to go out than I determine it to be right now. So I'm kind of doing my part to not only slow the curve, but keep myself alive. So I appreciate opportunities to socially interact with others in a really safe environment. And there are ways to do it, guys. You know, I've done Zoom meetings, Zoom get-togethers with family and friends. I did a Facebook Messenger video last night with friends in Australia. So there's ways to actually, it's not the same as being able to see a friend and give them a hug, no doubt about it. But we have to be socially responsible at this point in time, and I am kind of getting on a soapbox at this stage of the game. But we have to be socially responsible right now because we still have a virus that is spreading like a wildfire through the world. And, you know, that wildfire is not contained yet. So we have to be responsible enough to do our part in trying to make sure that, you know, we don't get sick and others don't get sick. You know, I remember right in the beginning of this, I thought, you know, it's going to be a matter of time before I know someone who's really infected with the virus. And personally, it took a little bit, but now I have two very healthy, in their 30s, male friends one in New York and one in Texas, and both of them contracted COVID. And it was tough on them, on both of them. I mean, strapping 30-something-year-old, physically fit, no pre-existing conditions guys, that it knocked them squarely on their butts. And they were very, very sick, guys. So it's not anything to fool around with. It ain't just the flu.
Right. Exactly.
Well, it's a very interesting, I was going to say topic, but it's almost like it consumes everyone on a daily basis.
Our world has been, I often liken this to like a parallel universe. I'm 65 and a half years old. And in my lifetime, I would have never thought that I would live through something like this. I never thought that I'd have to sequester myself at home for fear of getting a germ. I never thought I would be worried about bringing in groceries or mail and having to disinfect everything that comes into my house and, you know, not be able to get on an airplane and not be able to, and this hurts the most, not be able to hug my friends and family, not be able to even see them. And think about the people that live alone, that have sequestered themselves. I'm lucky because I have my cousin who lives in the house here with me, and I have two dogs. But even then, you know, I've not been on an airplane, which I'm usually flying all the time. Haven't been on an airplane since December. And I did the math the other day, and if I stay sequestered until the 12th of May, I will have spent half of the year 2020 sequestered and isolated. Half the year.
Wow. That's crazy. But this
crazy.
Is, like you said, nothing that we would have ever imagined, and I'll tell you, when this all hopefully clears up, whenever that may be, I'm going to be way more prepared this time for all this.
I think that it's necessary because, you know, everybody is saying that it might the curve might flatten, but because people are not taking the necessary precautions, people that are out protesting, people that have said this is a hoax, whatever, mm-hmm. I don't get those people. I'm sorry, because there's going to be a second wave of it. I mean, if you look back historically, like with Spanish flu, back 100 years ago, when, you know, the first wave came and then people got lax about being careful, and then a second and worse wave hit. So, you know, I'm thinking that 53 days may just be the start of it for me staying at home. I'm going to be here until I really feel it's safe to put myself, I'm not going to put my life at risk unnecessarily. That means, you know, doing whatever is necessary to try to stay healthy. Our world, the words I use are scary, difficult, and uncertain. Those are the words I use to describe the world. And it really is kind of like going down the rabbit hole or through the looking glass. It's just, it's surreal and kind of unimaginable. And I don't know if you guys do this or even the listeners do it. Sometimes I wake up in the morning, and right when you're coming out of that sleep state and you're, I'm awake. And then you think it hits you that it's Groundhog Day. It's another COVID day. And, you know, that can be very depressing. And, you know, from someone who studied psychology and counseling a lot, you really have to struggle hard to not let yourself fall into some state of depression or, you know, hopelessness for the feelings that you could be feeling right now. And those feelings are very valid, but we have to battle against those. We have to find ways not to be consumed by the depressive elements of the state of the world right now.
Well, and that's where I think current technology and like what we're doing tonight, I think it does put a little break in the monotony of watching, you know, Netflix or, you know, cleaning your closet out for the 80th time. You know,
I've been watching a lot of TV and a lot of movies and, you know, interacting with friends and social media and, you know, talking to my cousin and those sort of things. And those are the things that have occupied my time during the time that I've kind of been stranded here at home. So let's get off the COVID topic. Let's talk about something else. Let's talk about anything else. I mean, it's a great topic to discuss for a while, but let's switch gears. How about that?
Well, have you done anything productive? Because one thing we've been talking to everyone about was like what their plans are. And mostly what I've found out are people have set these high expectations for what they're going to do around their house, and nobody has actually completed what they're.
And because of that, I think it's because we're kind of feeling depressed. I mean, I know that I got these great ideas. Oh, I'm going to clean. I'm going to do this. But getting up and feeling like you're motivated to do it. And even with some people, it's like, I don't even have the oomph to take a shower and clean up. I'm going to stay in my jammies and take a shower tomorrow. Maybe. So it's tough.
Right.
You know, you can have all these grandiose ideas of what you're going to do. You know, I really haven't done a whole lot. I'm thinking this would be a great time to clean my closets, like you said, or, you know, straighten this up or clean a junk drawer or whatever. And you know what? Ain't happened. I haven't motivated myself that far. And it's not a matter that I think I'm depressed. It's just it's really hard sometimes. Maybe I am depressed. I don't know. But it's hard to get motivated and do those things.
Right. I'm right there with you. I have all these great ideas. But as for making it happen, I might have to stop watching Netflix. And I have watched a lot of things since this whole thing started.
Uh-huh.
I need to admit, I've watched so much that I'm starting to think that I do need to do something else. But then I start using my Bluetooth headset and walking around with my iPad and doing everything one-handed. That's how bad I've gotten. I need to do the cleaning.
Yeah, I should probably get productive too, girl.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm thinking maybe tomorrow because it's Groundhog Day. Tomorrow's the same as today right now. You know,
yeah,
it's more
yeah.
Netflix and more this and more that, so I'm kind of like, yeah, whatever.
Well, I'm kind of a serial procrastinator. So there's things I've been trying to do for the last 10 years, and like, I finally get it done. But if I haven't done it in the last 10 years, I'm probably not going to do it now anyway. So it's like,
my birthday is in August, and I'm born on the last day between Leo and Virgo. And Leo, and that, if anybody knows anything about astrology and horoscopes, I call myself a pathetic perfectionist. I want things to be tidy and neat and OCD and all those things, but you know what? It ain't happening. I just, you know, I get to a point and then I go, can't do it anymore. And I work best when I've got kind of a metaphorically a gun to my head. I work best under pressure sometimes. So, you know, when push comes to shove, I'll kick it into high gear and get it done, I guess.
Yeah.
So here's a question for you. Once this is all over with, what is something that you really are going to look forward to doing once this is over with?
Going on an investigation. I'm not going to lie.
We're talking about doing some sort of investigation or live stream or something that's not like virtual. You know, the other night she went to her work and did an investigation and I armchaired in. via satellite. I've never via satellite.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll be honest with you, it's really super simple. I was sitting on a recliner investigating, which is, I mean, that's the epitome of lazy, though I'm kind of laid up with it, with an injury, a circumstance that I created on my, you know, lack of judgment. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I'm excited just to get out. I think more than anything, I miss
just being able to leave my house and feel safe doing so. Whether it's, and you know, the real odd thing about it is I was raised an only child, so I got used to kind of occupying my time and not having, you know, any siblings or whatever to keep me occupied and spend time with. So, and when I'm not on the road traveling or doing a TV show or going to an event or whatever, I most of the time I was like, God, I just love being at home and lying on my couch and spending time with my cousin and my dogs and watching TV. And now that's become everything I'm doing, and there's no getting out of the house. So I think the thing that I'm looking forward to is like diving back into those aspects of life and, you know, being able to go and hop on a plane and not be scared to hop on a plane, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so those are things. And hug friends, you know. You guys know my travel assistant and BFF, Greta. You both have met Greta, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's very interesting that Greta and I are together almost constantly, and I haven't seen Greta in 2 months.
Oh, wow.
You know, we've talked on the phone a lot, but Greta and I, who usually see each other on a very regular basis, very regular, you know, we haven't seen each other in 2 months, and that's tough. That's really tough,
yeah,
not to see those people in your life that are such a huge part of your life. You know, I have friends, mm-hmm, who live in a very good friend who lives in Illinois, and she goes and socially distances from, you know, X number of feet away from her mom and dad who live separately, and they're older. And, you know, mm-hmm, she said to me kind of emotionally the other night, she said, I just want to hug them. I just want to go and hug them. She goes, but I know that's not a good idea. I just can't right now. So I wave to them from a distance and, you know, talk to them and interact with them from a distance. But I want to just run up to them and hug them and feel that person-to-person contact. And I can't. So maybe,
yeah,
this will teach some of us to appreciate the things that we kind of took for granted in the past.
Definitely.
Like, I took for granted getting on an airplane and going to an event. And sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm really so tired. I don't want to go film a TV show, or I don't want to, you know, but you pull up your big boy pants and you go do it anyway. And now it's kind of like the things that we kind of moaned and groaned and complained and bitched about in the past, we're looking forward to getting back to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what I just realized is, you know, your story was, what you just said about giving hugs and stuff has been, it was nice about your friend and stuff. And, you know, so lately I've been telling people that I'm happy because I am not a hugger, and this will finally get me off the hook for having to hug people. So now I feel like I'm like, you know, a bad guy from saying that, because that was my thought process was finally I can stop, you know, those awkward hugs that I tend to get because I'm just not a hugger. So for me, it's working out. It will work out pretty well. So I'm going to use this.
All right, we should ask him,
Nikki.
We should ask him this. We should, you know, for those people that go, I'm not a hugger. You know what I usually ask people then? So who hurt you? Who hurt you?
Right.
Who hurt you?
Yeah.
Who hurt you?
Why?
I don't want to get into it.
Why are you this way?
I don't know what happened. It all started when I was I can't pinpoint it.
All right, somebody cue the violin music while we hear his sad story, bitches.
Exactly. Oh, poor Rob.
There was a time.
Poor Rob. Yeah. Well, you know what? There's nothing better than a good hug, right, Nikki?
That's right. And you know what? Now at my work, when I do get to see my coworker, which we work different shifts, so we actually come in on other days just to say hi to each other with our masks on, we do this elbow thing, which we're less than the 6 feet, you know, but we try to, like, barely touch elbows because usually we give each other a big hug. And it's just, it's awkward now. It's awkward going, if you haven't been outside, you know, going to the store. I've had to go to the store, and it has directionals now, like down the aisle. You can only go a certain direction, and then they've got the spots on the floor every 6 feet, like, marked. And it's awkward, you know, like when you're going through the store and you want to maintain social distance, but then there's those people who stand there looking at, you know, a gallon of milk like they've never seen one before, and you don't know how to handle it, you know, like... It's really difficult. I would love things to go back to normal, be able to, you know, give my coworker a big hug and shop down aisles without having to go different, you know, so special directions and the distance measuring. And it's just all, it's always
everything
awkward.
Everything
is
so different. It's like, I don't like the new normal. I don't like it.
Mm-mm, me either.
I don't like the new normal.
Either.
I just don't like it. But it is what it is. So. Yeah, we'll try to work through it. We'll try to work through it.
That's right.
That's all we can.
So before that took over the world, what have you been up to? I know that you've been doing some filming and such.
You know, I did
before the
last season, right? I did last season of Kindred Spirits. And we did 13 episodes, and the season ended a few weeks ago. And, you know, we're fingers crossed that we'll get renewed for a season 5. You know, when we'd start filming or how that would happen or what that looks like right now is, again, there's that uncertain word, but, you know, we're still waiting for a renewal notice. And, you know, I did a lot of event work, as I normally do, and as always, I do private readings for my clients, which even though now, you know, I can't get out and go film a TV show, I can't go away from my house to film a TV show, I can't go out and go to an event that I would go to and, you know, do my gallery readings live or sell my merchandise and meet and greet with people. I can't do those sort of things. So I've always done readings by telephone for my clients. All my private readings are conducted by telephone. So I'm very fortunate that I'm able to do that from here at home. And I've been doing a goodly number of those during the COVID pandemic. And, you know, those are kind of the things I was doing, most of the normal things that I normally do in my life that had become what life was like for me, you know, more than 3 or 4 months ago. And I thought the season, you know, I'm probably a little biased, but I thought the last season of Kindred Spirits was a pretty good season. I was very pleased with most of the episodes and okay with some of them. I think, you know, as with any show, I've got my favorites. And I'm looking forward to the possibility of going back and doing more episodes and seeing what can happen, what new cases can be thrown at us. So that's kind of life for me right now. And, you know, spending time with friends. And one of the things that I want to do is try to have more leisure travel to go do things like, if I have to think of bucket list, let's change the subject to bucket list for a minute. I've done a lot of things on my bucket list. You know, but one of the things I really want to do is my dad's family was from Ireland, and I want to go to Ireland at some point in time. And I've never seen a lot of things in the United States, but one of the things that I've never seen is the Grand Canyon. So I want to go visit Sedona and the Grand Canyon. So that's on my list of things to do. But, you know, a couple of years ago, one of my goals on my bucket list was to have visited all 50 of the United States. And I marked that item off my bucket list when I visited the 50th state on my list and did the check mark when I went into Montana and said, here it is, 50 bitches. And Montana was the last state that I visited in the U.S. to check off the 50th state. So,
wow.
You know,
awesome.
that was kind of a fun thing to have done. But I guess, you know, that on my bucket list is actually going to Ireland, and I really want to go to Amsterdam, really for just one purpose. I've always wanted to go to the Anne Frank House in Amsterdam. And
ooh,
so,
yeah.
You know, that's been kind of a goal. And as morbid as it is, there's a part of me that wants to go visit places like Auschwitz and Bergen-Belsen
mm-hmm.
and Dachau and just visit the concentration camps in Europe. So that's kind of a morbid thing, but there's a part of me, probably a past life thing, almost decidedly a past life thing, that draws me to want to go there. I know it would be incredibly hard, but I would want to do it. And Ireland would just be fun. I would, you know, I would feel like I was going, you know, walking in the footsteps of my ancestors.
And
the Grand Canyon, I think, would just be just crazy fun. You know, people say, walk up to it, you look at it, and you go, that's pretty, bye. But I wouldn't. I would just stand there and just probably sob my eyes out that it's so freaking beautiful. And have either of you been to Sedona, Arizona?
No.
I have not.
I want to, though.
I want to, too, because I've heard that it is such an energetic and kind of a magical place. So there's a part of me that just wants to go there again. Or not again. Go there. Well, maybe it is again. Maybe I've been there in a past life. Why did I say again?
There you go.
I don't know. That was weird.
that just kind of
spilled out, and I'm like, wait a minute. I've never been there, so how could I go there again? Ooh, cute Twilight Zone.
Well, I know. past lives has been a topic on our radio program for about the past month or two. It's a very interesting topic.
Yeah.
And I've got, you know, one thing I had just quickly to interject about the concentration camps, with your gift, wouldn't that be like near impossible to just bear, like what you'd be getting while you were just standing there and walking, and are you able to turn off completely? You know,
I don't know that I'd be able to do that, because I said almost possibly it had past life implications. Actually, truth be told, I have memories of being in a concentration camp. Yeah.
Wow, that would probably be a really intense trip. Like,
it would probably. Well, let me just give you an example. There's a place, a museum in Los Angeles called the Museum of Tolerance. And a friend took me there several years ago, and we toured the place. And it's all about not only the Holocaust, but it's about the civil rights movement in the United States and anything that has to do with prejudice and bigotry and hatred against specific groups of people. And in the Museum of Tolerance, they've got a realistic mock-up, an actual life-size version of a gas chamber that was used in the death camps. And
wow.
You go into this thing, and they shut the doors, and you've seen a video of what happened, and they shut the doors, and it's pretty dimly lit in there, and you hear the hiss of what's supposed to be the gas coming in on you. So it's very experiential.
Wow.
I went into this place, and I when I started hearing the of the gas coming into the room,
oh.
I lost consciousness and hit the floor.
Oh, wow.
I just went right on out. It was so emotionally overwhelming and devastating that I just went completely, crashed right out. And it was horrible. It's horrible. And I don't know if you've ever been to any of the Holocaust museums. That there are several of them located around the country. But I've gone to some of them, and they wreck me. I'm wrecked. Because I believe that my soul in another body lived part of that. And so, you know, it's number one, it's a very horrific sort of thing that I've always, even since childhood, been drawn to anything to do with the Nazis and concentration camps and stuff like that, trying to watch that sort of stuff and get some idea of what was happening. I've always been drawn to the story of Anne Frank, you know, ever since I saw the movie when I was a child and then the play and then read the book and all that stuff. I've always been drawn to Anne Frank's story. Another thing I've always been drawn to is the Titanic. That for some reason, maybe I was on the Titanic, I don't know, or had something to do with the Titanic. But those two particular stories, both extremely tragic tales, I've always been very drawn to those things. Those two particular incidents.
Well, I've been to one. The Holocaust in museum in South Florida, and I remember at a young age going for school, and I always thought it was very difficult. And on top of it, at the time when I was there, there were not a significant amount, but there were people walking around, you know, older that had tattoos on their arms with their numbers.
Wow.
Visiting, and then, you know, it was just. And then we had a presentation, and there was just people visiting the colon looking. You know, I believe that one, they have a lot of names printed on slabs there. And, you know, it's intense, especially when you see the people who were survivors, you know, viewing people who were killed. It's a very surreal thing to watch, and, you know, the survivors looking at the names of the deceased.
It's tough. In the Holocaust Museum in Washington, they've got this whole behind plexiglass, this whole walkway, and on each side of the plexiglass are shoes that were taken from people who died in the concentration camp when they stripped them. It's just this entire wall. It's like a huge bin filled with shoes. and just the idea that these were taken from people that were taken to a concentration camp, their shoes, and how they were mistreated and degraded and killed. It's, you know, there's a thing in the Jewish community, a saying, it's as long as we remember, no one truly dies. And, you know, I have friends who don't have family who died in a camp that I know of. But I will tell you this, I have friends who are Jewish who did have family members that died in the concentration camps. And, you know, they really don't speak a lot about it, but they will never forget, and they will tell you that they were in the camps. And as long as that memory lasts, then I agree. Nobody really dies as long as there's a memory of them. So now we just dragged that conversation right on down, didn't we?
Yeah, no, I think happy time is now non-existent. So,
no, there isn't.
You know what? We said we were going to do something at 11 o'clock, and we're after 11, so we're going to do what we're going to do?
I think we are. We're going to draw a winner, and not draw, like physically draw, but we're going to pick a winner. And for a psychic reading by Chip Coffey. And let me tell you, Chip Coffey, one of the best in the, I would say, ever. Because
so we should thank
you
for that. I appreciate that. One thing we should let people know is that this is not a talking to the dead reading. This is an all about you reading, past, present, future, talking about relationships or romance or family members or career or finances, all those sort of things. And there's a stipulation in here that that reading is 100% free. You're going to win that kind of a reading. And if you decided you wanted to upgrade to talk to a family member who's passed away, you can do that, but there is an upcharge on that. You can, once you get the information on how to book your reading, once you talk to me or one of the people that works with me, you can pay an extra amount if you really want to do the spirit communication or the crossing over reading rather than the psychic reading.
Well, and it's very generous of you, and we definitely appreciate
you doing this
for us and for our listeners. Now, we did generate the winner, and the winner is I wish we had a drum roll. I think we actually have a drum roll in the studio, but I'm going to neglect to press it because I don't know what it would actually sound like. But it is
I'm looking,
Shay,
but I don't even know if it's there.
Yeah. Shay Watson. And we are going to contact her by email within the next 24 hours.
Congratulations, Sherry.
She is the winner. And we'll probably pick a winner or two for a little Live Paranormal gift basket, though. When I was saying that, I realized when we talked earlier about people getting stuff in the mail, they might not want it. So, you know, they might put together a little gift basket of stuff, and they'll be like, throw it right away. But
maybe we can find an ebook or something.
Yes, yeah, something.
That's a safer thing, you know.
And it's just sad to think that somebody would win a prize, like a prize pack, and they're like, "No, we don't want that. We can't have that." But I guess
maybe later, not now.
Right. I know that I'm leaving my mail in my garage. I may wear gloves and take my mail out of my mailbox, but I'm leaving it for 4 or 5 days in the garage. I'll look at it and then put it down and you know, go back and get it in 4 or 5 days when I think that it's safe and there's nothing contagious on it. So, you know, if anybody won something from you, if they waited for a few days, they should be good.
Yeah.
The decontamination process.
Yeah.
Well, I've been buying a lot of stuff from Amazon. I have three kids, and they're all, you know, they see on the news, and they only process what they want, and you know, they feel as if, you know, well, they know that it's started in China, and a lot of the stuff I've been buying on Amazon is coming from China, and I'm like, and it's been freaking them out because, you know, I need to buy a new controller for the video game, but I bought the cheaper route made in China, And they were looking at it like they won't play with it because they think it may have the coronavirus.
Well, you know, it's really kind of funny because I ordered, you know, me and my scarves. I ordered some scarves, some really cool skull scarves, right before all this started to hit. And, of course, anything that comes from China takes a certain amount of time to get here. It takes a hot minute to get here. Let's go back to that. It takes a hot minute to get here. And, you know, when it came, Corona had already been started to talk about having, you know, originated or the first glimpse of it came in China. And here's this big thing, and I asked the delivery man, I said, where did this come from? And he goes, China. And I went, oh, well, I said an expletive deleted. And I want you to know that I left it sitting outside for a little bit and then sprayed it completely with Lysol, and that's outside, then sprayed it again with Lysol before I ever brought it into my house. But they're saying that if anything comes from China, you know, the chances are it's going to take several days from the time that it leaves anywhere or wherever it comes from. So if you, from what I'm told, and hopefully this is all correct, if you have something that the longest the virus can live on a surface is 4 or 5 days. So, you know, if I have to use something, you know, like bringing in groceries or perishables, we're washing it down, hosing it down, wiping it off with whatever, and we're leaving even groceries when my cousin goes to the grocery store once a week with a mask and gloves and, you know, takes off his shoes and clothes in the garage and we wash his clothes and all this happy hoopla. We're taking as many precautions as we know, but, you know, we're leaving stuff that's non-perishable that is non-perishable in the garage for several days before we ever allow it into the house.
It's definitely a good idea.
Definitely. I think that's smart because a lot of people don't even there's a lot of things that I think people just don't think about. You know, and that's one of them is the food, you know, touching. You know, I went to the store before I had my injury, and I remember, like, grabbing a bag of chips, but it wasn't the right bag of chips. And I was thinking, are people watching me? Are they going to, like, can I put these chips back now, or do I have to officially buy them because I touched them? You know, I didn't know what the new protocol is. And the person was standing next to me. I'm like, I want to put these back because I don't want to buy them. They're like $6.99. I definitely picked the wrong bag up, but I don't know if you're going to, you know, if I'm allowed to put them back now or if I have to officially buy them. So, like, if you touch them, you buy them.
I don't think that's the case. I think it's one of those things that, you know, that I know, like I said, my cousin goes out. He doesn't go out anywhere. You know, and the minute he walks into the garage and he takes off his shoes, I go out in a few minutes and I spray those suckers down with Lysol and just leave them out there. He doesn't even wear the shoes that he wears to go shopping in. He doesn't even bring them into the house. They stay in the garage. So, you know, nobody's touching them. And the minute he comes in, he brings his clothes in, puts them in the washing machine, washes them in hot water, and goes immediately upstairs and jumps in the shower and takes a shower. So, you know, it's crazy the precautions that you have to take, but, you know, we got to do it. We got to do it.
Exactly.
So if everything goes well, the season gets picked up, you're back involved in the show again for next season.
Knock wood, yes.
Yeah, no, I'm like I said, I'm on a recliner, so I got nothing to knock. I got some leather here, but what is at this point in your career? Is there anything out there that you could be like, oh my God? Besides, you know, but paranormal wise or investigating wise, you know, for what you know, how you go into and do your portion of the show, is there anything that you would actually are looking forward to do or want to do, or is it pretty much all just now? Oh, I've done that, been there, I enjoy doing it, but I'm, you know, I'm going out there again and doing the same thing. Or is there something out there that you're trying to incorporate or maybe you've suggested that, you know, maybe you can't even tell us about that you want to see and or do differently or do that you haven't done yet? Or have you done everything? Because to me, it seems like you've done everything.
You know, I will say that I've been to a lot of really famous or infamous haunted places. You know, I've been to Gettysburg a number of times. I've been to the Queen Mary a number of times, the Stanley Hotel, Mount Washington Hotel. I've been to a lot of, you know, to the Villisca Axe Murder House on Kindred. It was high up on the Villisca House was high up on my list of places to visit, and I visited it. I visited a lot of really, you know, I've been on the outside of the Amityville house. I've been on the outside of the house from Haunting in Connecticut. So, you know, I've visited a lot of really classic, well-known haunted locations. You know, there's some that I haven't visited yet and some that I would really like to go see. But, you know, nothing, there really isn't anything that I can think of that I'm, that's like, oh, my God, in the paranormal arena, I haven't done that, or I think that I'm just jonesing to do, so to speak. I off the top of my head, and probably given a few minutes, I could think of something, but quite honestly, there really isn't a lot out there that I feel like, oh, I need to see this and experience it, because after this many years, I've seen and experienced a lot. What a lot of people don't know about me is, as far back as when I was a child, some people may know that I lived in a haunted house when I was between the time I was 10 and 14 years old in central New York. And that house was very active, nothing negative, but it was an incredibly active house. And back in the day, think about it, you're talking, this is the mid to late 1960s. And, you know, they didn't have ghost boxes. They didn't have thermal, you know, digital thermometers, the laser thermometers. They didn't have all the equipment that paranormal investigators use today. So when my parents talked to their friends about the things that were going on in the house, one of their friends knew a guy that was a parapsychologist at nearby Cornell University, and he and a group of people came in and, quote-unquote, investigated our house. And really, pretty much what that relied on was they brought in one of these old dinosaur, real big, gigantic reel-to-reel tape recorders, and they did an EVP session in the house. They just let it run in the house. They weren't asking questions. They just let it run to see what they could get on it. And let me tell you what, on that old, monstrous reel-to-reel recorder, they recorded some of the most amazing Class A-plus EVPs that I have ever in my life heard. Ever in my life heard.
Wow.
Several of them. You know, a little girl's voice. Interestingly enough, we had a dog whose name was Cindy. She was a little cocker poo, a cocker spaniel and poodle mix. And she would be sleeping, and then she'd wake up and look around like somebody had called her name, but nobody had. On the tape, we knew that there was a little girl from the previous family that lived in the house. We were only the second family that lived in the house that we bought. The first family had built the house almost 100 years before we moved in it, and they were an Irish immigrant family named Murphy, and the house in the neighborhood was called the Murphy House, and I still call it the Murphy House. Even though we lived there, it was the Murphy House. And we knew a little girl from the family history that we found out, that a little girl named Bridget had died in the house. And that on the recording that the group from Cornell did, there's you can hear, all of a sudden you hear a little girl's voice, and she, in a little sing-songy voice, she says, just this clearly, guys, just this clearly, says, Cindy, Cindy. And then she you hear footsteps, and then the little girl goes, gasps and says, Father, Cindy, 1, 2, up.
Wow.
Just
that's awesome.
That clearly. And you know, let's talk about the term EVP. It means electronic voice phenomena, right? But it's not always voices. It really can be other types of sounds, right? So EVP to me has always been kind of a mislabeling of what you get. So I kind of have started calling it EAP, electronic auditory phenomena. Think about it, EAP. It really is. Some of it is just an auditory phenomena. On the tape that they did, there were elevated train tracks near the house where we lived, and no steam locomotives had gone on those tracks for at least a decade, and this was in the 60s. But on that tape, you could hear a steam locomotive go past on the tracks. So not a voice, but yet a sound of some sort. And sometimes you hear walking or you hear breathing, and that's not really a voice. So I think if I were able to just kind of switch things, I'd kind of switch the term EVP to EAP, electronic auditory phenomena.
It does make
sense. Actually, a good point.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times when we're going through our stuff, you know, we'll get stuff that's not a voice, but yet
right.
Then what do you classify it as? And we usually call it like an audio anomaly, because that is a good point. Now you got the wheels turning. The hamster's going in my head.
I think EAP is more descriptive. You know, sometimes you'll hear something that sounds like breathing. Sometimes you'll hear something that sounds like crying, and it's not really a voice. It's just some sort of sound that you record on tape, so to speak, or record on a recorder. So I like EAP.
I like it too.
Well,
it fits.
You know, I have been lucky enough to, I think, sit through maybe six or seven times when you've done your gallery and different presentations. And so I highly recommend it to all of our listeners, if Chip ever comes any remotely close to your town, to go check it out. Because, you know, like
definitely.
that story you just told, you know, you have probably some of the best storytelling, just the way that you tell the story and how descriptive you are and the little bit of humor you put into it. You know, it's my favorite presentation that I for me to go through six or seven times. There's been people that are like, hey, you want to come sit through my presentation? I'm like, no, not really. And, you know, and I'm usually that bluntest to say it. And she like gasped like, oh my God, I can't believe you told me you don't want to sit through your presentation. But I would never pass up the time to hear, you know, the way you tell the story. So I highly recommend all of our listeners. Anytime Chip comes to, you know, and I'm being serious, and I don't give out compliments, you know, and you know, that the story is, you know, if just that little tidbit there is kind of, you know, what you give during a presentation. And
well, I thought of kind of reading. I thought of adding things like, you know, just doing a presentation on my favorite encounters with ghosts, my favorite ghost stories. You know, I think that could be just fun, just for me to do just what I just kind of did, and just do kind of a presentation where I talk about my favorite ghost stories or my favorite, even if they were my encounters or stories that I've heard, and heaven knows in my lifetime of, like I said, 65 plus years, I've had a lot of ghost stories that I could share. That some are heartwarming and some are downright terrifying.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I love weaving a story and telling people sharing about what my experiences have been like. That's always gives me a lot of pleasure to be able to share those stories of my experiences with people. So thank you for that, Rob. I appreciate that.
No, and it's true too. It's not just me like bullshitting for radio purposes. That's an actual. You know, I have been through. I think we've been at least six or seven times. And I always like that. I'm going to butcher it up, but the story about I can't remember if it's a little girl. I think it's a little girl where you see her head turn, spin around, and she talks in like a man's voice. He says, "Get out." You know,
there's a replay from an episode. Stories like that. There's one of the things that happened on Paranormal State that was unfortunately not caught on film. Was on the second episode of Paranormal State that I did on the episode called Devil in Syracuse, and she went into this weird state and just turned completely stiff as a board and threw her arms and legs out to the side and just said, "Get out of my house!" And I'm like, hell no. I'm like, yep, I'm ready to go. Bye. Bye, y'all. But then that was one instance. But I don't think you've ever heard this story, and if I may, I'll tell you another little story about something that happened to me. And this is, I swear on a Bible that this is the truth. In my earlier days, when I was in my 20s and living in Florida, I worked in traditional counseling therapy and psychology in the past. So I was working on a locked adolescent unit in a psychiatric facility. And the kids had a variety of different maladies that were inpatient at the facility. And one of the girls that was there was a young girl named Lucy. And Lucy was correctly identified as a paranoid schizophrenic. And her her paranoia and her schizophrenia manifested in itself, mostly her paranoia, as a fear of aliens. She was afraid that aliens were going to take over her body or her mind. And anytime she would, like, see an alien on TV in the day room, like on Lost in Space reruns or on Star Trek or even the weird little cartoon alien on Bugs Bunny, she would F and freak out. She would, like, have a meltdown. So that happened to Lucy at one point in time, and she had a meltdown. But prior to this, I should back up for a minute. I will tell you this, that mental health problems, psychological problems, even like paranoid schizophrenia or whatever, you can have a mental condition, a mental health condition, and be hella psychic, very psychic at the same time. One thing is not mutually exclusive of the other. Lucy was very psychic. For example, this is what happened before the meltdown with the alien. I'm backtracking here. Lucy was sitting on her bed at night during the 3 to 11 shift at the hospital and she was in the room with one of the other counselors on the unit whose name was Karen. And Lucy was sitting, it was storming outside, violent thunderstorm. And Lucy is sitting on her bed in her room, rocking back and forth. You know how some people who are having some sort of a break will rock. They'll just rock back and forth to try to calm themselves. And Lucy was sitting on the bed going, I'm going to get struck by lightning. 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 And Karen is trying to calm her down. No, Lucy, baby, the lightning storm is outside. You're fine. You're inside. You're not going to get struck by lightning. You're safe. You're fine. All of a sudden, this huge roll of thunder, a flash of lightning, and the streak of lightning comes through the window in Lucy's room and burns a hole in the carpet about the size of a dinner plate.
Wow.
Karen almost crapped her pants. Lucy looked at Karen and started rocking again and said, told you I was going to get struck by lightning. Told you I was going to get struck by lightning. So Karen's going like, what the hell just happened? So now we're back to Lucy has a breakdown when she sees the alien. They take her upstairs to what's called the intensive treatment unit, which basically she got put in a padded cell. So Lucy's in her cell, and Karen and I come on shift. We get notes from the previous shift, the staff on the previous shift. Legally, we have to observe Lucy, I think it was every 15 or 20 minutes, in the locked room through a little door on the room. And the carpet, the hallways are carpeted. You can't hear anybody approach. And the first time Karen and I go to observe Lucy to make sure she's still doing okay and to chart it on the notes, we go up to Lucy to the little window, Karen and I, same girl that was in the room with Lucy with the lightning, we go up and look through the window. Lucy is sitting on the floor with her back to us, and she's slumped over. And it's as though when we start to observe her, somehow, even though there was no noise walking up to the door, she knows we're there. And all of a sudden, she starts to lift her head and straighten her back, and she comes up to a full sitting, erectly sitting position. And all of a sudden, her head starts to turn toward us. And it continues to turn, and it continues to turn, until her head has done a 180 and is looking out of her back.
Oh, wow.
She didn't do a 360 like Reagan in The Exorcist, but she did a complete 180 head turn. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a spinal column, and that would break your neck. And the look on her face was this possessed look with this kind of glassy-eyed, demonic-looking grin on her face. And I looked at Karen, and this is back before this was popular. I looked at Karen, and I said, hell no. Hell no. Hell no. And I'm always surrounded by these practical, pragmatic people. Karen goes, how the hell are we going to chart this? Meaning write about it in the chart.
Right.
You can't. Nobody would believe that we saw this. But here in the psychiatric facility, this girl's head did a 180. And, you know, this is, let's figure out how many years ago this was. This is 40 years ago. that I witnessed this. 1980. It's been a hot minute ago. You did that. He actually got hot minute really good there. Did you hear that?
Wow. That was pretty slick, Rob. See, you didn't put a lot of thought into it before you said it. It was on the fly. And that's when it sounds best.
It was on the fly. It was on the fly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, please.
I would go.
We
put the impossible this evening. Whoa.
Rob wins.
Damn. I'm impressed. Wow.
Stamp of approval.
Yeah, totally.
But I mean, how do you even write that up? You know,
you don't.
Lucy left the building. Lucy left the building. Satan's here. You know what?
Oh my gosh! So did you guys end up
that's just one of the crazy examples of the crap that I've seen in my lifetime. You know.
How long did you work there after the fact?
Well, I really didn't work on that unit very long. I think I was only on that unit for 6 or 7 months. Before I moved back to New York. My dad was sick, and I went home to New York to help take care of my dad.
Right.
And so, you know, I didn't want to leave working on the unit. I loved working on the unit. But now, you know, I think about these things, and if Lucy was 17 at the time, Lucy's now a 57-year-old woman.
Wonder if she can still do it. She's still,
her agility is still there.
Wonder if she can still turn her head around.
Yeah,
right.
Your agility goes down as you get older.
I have no idea. I don't know. She might have perfected making it do a 360. If that's the case.
That's right.
If that's the case, I'm doing a big hell no. Hell no. Hell no. Nope.
Yeah.
Actually,
exactly.
This is another one I do sometimes. I go, no ma'am, no ma'am, no ma'am, no ma'am.
Right.
And I didn't realize this, but if you watch me on television, and everybody now makes fun of it, but when I go in and I pick up something, I'll go, hello. Hello. That means I'm picking up something, and I didn't realize how often I did it, and then I started watching the season of Kindred Spirits, and I'm like, bitch, you say that a lot.
Well, it's
and I
just
do
the
it.
Way
hello.
We can all tell. We can tell
hello.
If you're picking up on something. You got to keep it up now.
If you hear
it's
me
like
say,
yourself.
If you hear me go, hello, you know I'm getting something. Mm-hmm. If I'm trying
right.
to tap into something psychically, hello. Yeah.
There you go.
Well,
and usually I'll get
so.
Things
I hope
in
that,
a hot minute or two.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, I was going to say something, but I didn't have it there the hot minute. It was just it wasn't going to flow.
You did
it. Wasn't
it.
Meant for
you did
Rob.
It though. You did it.
You did do it.
You did, mm-hmm. and. I'm kind of proud of him. What about you?
I am, too. You know what? And even better, this is obviously going to be, it's recording, so we'll be able to replay that moment in time. We'll do a sound bite. I'll clip it.
Cool.
Clean it up real nice.
I think
it'll be beautiful.
For a hot minute. Clean it up in a hot minute.
That's right.
Kind of,
and I will.
It's kind of sad, though, the reality of it, that's something that someone would be proud of me for. With making a offhand,
it's the little things, Rob.
Comment.
Little things.
It is.
Yeah,
it really
you
know. Is. Just take the compliment.
That's the best I got.
Don't
yeah.
you think, Nikki? Take the compliment and STFU, right?
Right.
Right. Don't be an ass about it, Rob. Just take it.
Yeah.
We're giving you
yeah.
a compliment.
Hello.
Can't take him anywhere.
No.
Well, I think we're coming to an end of our podcast here, our live show. Now it's turning into the podcast version. So, I don't know if we need to let you go or not, but I had a great time tonight. And, I was just going to ask you a quick question about back to these experiences. Do you think that it was fate that you came across that? What was the girl you were just talking about? I forgot her name already. Or you think it was just part of like a plan? Lucy, you think it was just part of a plan? That you were supposed to interact and kind of just keep building your...
I don't have any idea. All I know is that weird crap has followed me my entire life. My entire life.
That's what it seems like.
So I think I've got, like, this weird magnet attached to me somewhere. Just remind me at some point in time to tell you where I feel like absolutely. And you've met Greta, of course, both of you have. But Rebecca is the other lady that works with me as kind of the one who books most of my private readings. How we encountered what I really believe is one of Satan's minions on the Queen Mary in California. 100%. That guy was effing weird. 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 Hello. Weird.
Huh.
So, I mean, from that to seeing with, many people know who Tiffany Johnson, she's another psychic and medium that is a lovely friend of mine, to being with her and several other people in Gettysburg, illegally, may I add, maybe illegally, allegedly, we were at Saks Bridge after dark. I won't confess to anything. But
oh, no, that's okay. That's okay.
And seeing out of the fog that just suddenly rises up out of nowhere in the distance, seeing three soldiers in Civil War uniform walk toward us through the mist.
Damn it, you've seen a soldier in Gettysburg, and I haven't. I have tried so damn hard.
Three of them. And then all of a sudden,
whoa,
the mist vanished, and so did they. And seeing, if you know anything about the Stanley Hotel, frequently seen at certain points at the Stanley Hotel is a guy who looks like a cowboy dressed in a hat, tall, dark figure, dressed in kind of a cowboy hat and a long duster coat. He came to my room while I was going to the bathroom and scared the crap out of me, and I screamed at him, no, 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 dude, private moment, private moment. He's peeking at me through the open bathroom door in my room. And I'm like, you perv.
Private
that
room, thank you. Right.
And at the Brown Palace Hotel in Denver, Colorado, there's a little boy that supposedly is renowned for rifling through people's luggage. And I'd forgotten something in the room and told Greta, who was waiting by the elevator, oh, darn it, I got to go back and grab something in the room that I left. I opened up the door, and there's this little devil going through my backpack.
Wow. Huh.
And another time at the Queen Mary, I was staying in a room that was down a hallway that was behind the elevators, right at the end of that hallway, and I went and opened up the door, and there was a little dark-haired maid making up my bed at the bottom, smoothing down the duvet cover on my bed, and when she saw me, she looked at me and did one of the jerk back like startled looks, and I did the same thing because I'd only been out of the room for maybe 90 seconds. Again, had forgotten something I needed to take with me. I startled her, she startled me, and bloop, she was gone.
Wow. Wow.
So, yeah, my experiences are I've seen some stuff.
Mhm. Yeah.
I've seen some stuff.
I'd say
well,
I think
I,
you have. Yep.
And
I mean,
nobody
have to hang out with
I don't
anymore.
Know how many people can actually say this, but if you've watched the episode of Paranormal State, I have the distinction of having been slapped by Lorraine Warren.
Yes, I did see that one.
I
own
the
box set.
I have been slapped by Lorraine Warren. God rest her
Not
soul.
Not a lot of
lovely
people
lady.
Put that on their list.
She cold cocked me. She had a hefty slap, let me tell you that. And what you didn't
it
see on the show
one.
Was the first time that she slapped me, they edited it out. She didn't connect well enough. She came around for seconds. She slapped me twice.
Wow. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So not one slap, dos slaps, dos. Whack, whack.
They should have left it in.
Well, they should have added sound effects where it was more, you know, like two pieces of wood being slapped together.
That would have done it all the way.
Basically, you know what? She cold cocked me. Let's put it that way. Girl smacked the spit out of my side of my face. I still think I got her DNA on the side of my face.
See, that's something that a lot of people can't say.
Nope. I would say there's probably very few people that can say that Lorraine Warren smacked the crap out of them. You guys, it's been fun to be with you. I love it. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I appreciate that, too, and hanging out with us crazies here.
Yeah,
yes.
We'll
thank you
to,
for coming on.
Have you on again, too, and I think it's been about 3 or 4 years, so we'll have to make it something a little bit sooner the next time around.
Oh, yeah. You guys just invite me back. Yeah. You know, it's always fun to come hang out with you, too. You know, we'll tell some more stories. We'll hopefully the next time we won't have to invest so much time talking about a virus, for God's sake.
No, and I think that set the tone
Amen.
For kind of like a depressing rest of the interview. So
you know, it really was depressing. If we think back on it, it really wasn't depressing. I think it was one of those things that it's the hot topic of conversation right now, so everybody is talking about it. And, you know, we got that out of the way, and then we moved on to more, you know, fanciful sort of non-COVID sort of talk. And you know, hopefully people hung in there with us and listened to the parts that we're not talking about, you know, pandemic shit.
Well,
I want
more stories. So I think we're going to bring you back for some more stories and just have, like, story time.
Invite you back.
The offer has been extended officially, and
yes.
We're kind of putting you on the spot because it's on air, which I enjoy doing.
You know,
I enjoy putting people on the spot on air.
Look, guys, as long as I'm sitting at home, you know, I would rather spend time with people that I care about and doing things that, you know, that are fun for me. And, you know, you guys are my friends, and I like hanging out with my friends. And so just invite me back. That's all you got to do, you know. It was either you guys or bad TV. So, you know, that's a no-brainer choice.
Well, we appreciate that. Like I told you
yeah.
earlier today, we definitely appreciate you. And,
you know,
we mean that sincerely.
You guys and everybody
yeah.
on the phone, one last thing. Please take precautions. Stay safe. Don't get sick. Don't make other people sick. You know, Rob, you continue to heal with your injury that you had. And Nikki, you know, love you dearly, and you take care of you. And, you know, I'm dancing naked under the moonlight and shaking chicken bones and sending up a prayer that all of this stuff will, you know, kind of dissipate and you know, and we can go back to resuming some sense of normalcy, whatever that is going to look like post-COVID, you know, in the not-too-far-distant future. That's my big prayer right now.
For all of us, I think it's definitely on the highest on the list.
Well, you guys, much love to both of you. Take good care. And to everybody listening, I'm saying that too. You know, take good care, and I'm sending my love in your direction. Virtual hug. With virtual hugs, I don't have to maintain 6 feet from you, so I'm hugging you virtually. So, you know, ask me back soon. Rob, I'll talk to you. Nikki,
yeah.
good as always to be with
yeah.
you. And let's do it again.
All right, talk
yes,
to you later.
We shall.
Thank you.
Thank you so
Bye,
much.
Bye, guys. Have a good night, everybody. Bye.
You too. Bye.
Well, that was nice to catch up with Chip. And
It was.
Yeah,
I missed him.
It was really, really great of him to give away that prize. And
I'm still on the phone. Don't talk about me like I'm not here.
Oh. You should have hung up.
I didn't hang up. Wait a minute. Don't be talking about me
saying.
Like I'm not here. Hello, I'm
just,
in the room.
I was just going to say, we're lucky because I was just going into something else.
Well, you guys talk amongst yourselves. I'm going to hop off the phone. Thank you both. Much love to you guys. Rob, like I said, take care of yourself. You clumsy
you
shit.
It.
You know, don't
yep.
get up trying
Amen.
To.
Amen.
And I told him, Nikki, I said the other day, I said, do you think you're from the South where you say, y'all, look at this, and get up and try to
right.
do something?
And it wasn't
hashtag,
on video, which is the biggest disappointment.
Hashtag dumbass.
No one.
Amen.
That was between me and the only one else who saw it was my daughter, and I think she is now scarred for life. Because it was you could hear it. It sounded like a gunshot, and it wasn't a gunshot. It was my leg snapping. She's still
Fun.
Scarred. She hasn't talked to anybody in a week. No, I'm just kidding.
You're
oh
awful. All right, guys, have a good night. Rob, be in touch and let me know how you want to get this person to redeem the reading, and we'll get it all set up, and let's do this again sometime soon.
All right, we'll
Definitely.
Talk to you soon.
You take care.
All right,
bye
guys.
I wonder if he's
that was
there.
So funny. No, he's not. He's out of the
I'm
studio.
I'm nervous now.
He's out
Maybe
of
he's still there
now.
With his psychic powers.
Possibly. No, it was definitely awesome to have Chip on tonight. And the lucky reading winner. I'm jealous.
Yeah, it was. If Sherry Watson doesn't email us back within, I think, either 24 or 48 hours to the point where she gets the email, she forfeits the prize. So you never know. You still have a fighting chance to.
Yeah.
Or maybe you'll win the gift pack.
I'd probably be the one putting together the gift pack. Let's be
real. I was going to ask you what you had laying around so you could put together the gift pack.
Yeah,
so you can just send it to yourself.
Exactly. COVID-free delivery.
Congratulations
to the contest winner. For sure.
You can always put the stuff in the box, put it at your front door, and then, like, go in the doorbell and make like you got something. Like, oh, my God, I won.
Then my dog would just bark. That's a lot of work for giving myself something I already have. But you know what I was thinking? I was thinking the whole time how we need to, once this is all over and everything and, you know, life resumes to normal function, we definitely need to take and go do something with Chip and not a buffet this time, you know, like the last time.
Well, you know what? I'll be completely honest with you. I'm on board. So for those people who are still listening that listen
your
to
troopers,
our show,
by the way.
I never like to. What was that?
I said they're troopers, by the way. They're still listening.
Yeah. Well, anyways, I never like to. And I just realized I always catch myself saying, like, listen and listeners. Like, with the same word right after each other. And they're listening, you know. Nikki does not like buffets. So, obviously, I think everyone pretty much knows that if she doesn't like something, I'm probably going to bring that up or do something that is involved in that process. You know, so we after a convention, myself, Nikki, Chip, and Greta went to we were going to go out to dinner, and we couldn't figure out where we were going to go. And, of course, I was like, let's go to the buffet. And then Chip kind of got it, the hint that you hated buffets, too, and so he was game for going to the buffet. And I was like, all right, I got this. We'll go to the buffet. If we go, I'll pay. And we went to a buffet, and it turned out it was like $84. And I was like, wow, this is not what I anticipated at all. And even at the time, it was funny because Chip was like, he even got the senior discount, and it was still only like 80 cents off. And you know, it was one of those, like, and the food wasn't that great. And even the fact that, like, I was able to, like, annoy you was definitely not worth, like, I think it came down to, like, $78 after his discount. But $78 was definitely not, like, if it was, like $5 or $10, I think that's my limit for, like, doing something just to annoy somebody. Because I still regret that to this day. And that was, like, in 2015. So. You know,
it was a traumatic experience for me.
And the food was awful.
It was.
It wasn't
and
that
I
good.
I was not comfortable.
That was great.
But Chip helped. He helped. He helped with that.
And
he told me
to
definitely don't eat a certain food. And yeah.
Well, and I think that was the best part of it. Is I find Chip really funny. And the fact that...
Oh,
he's
hilarious.
You know, we were making fun of the food and stuff, kind of made it almost like bearable and wanting to go back until I realized it was $78 or whatever. So,
Yeah, well, maybe we just won't go
back. We definitely will not go back.
That's right. We won't go to that one.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think buffets are PC anymore, especially after all of this. I think buffets are done, in my mind.
That industry. We have gone to a buffet or two over the past, like, year.
Or two?
Right,
one or two? Come on. A lot.
Okay, maybe, like, 20 times. Still.
Uh-huh.
I don't necessarily think that that's, like, an industry that's going to be booming. Like, there's some industries out there that, like, are definitely taking a hit. You know, no matter what, how you shake it, they're going to take a hit. And I think the buffets are taking a hit. You know, I think that's one of them that would be like, I don't know. You know,
I just think
that
it's not even going to be anymore. Like, I think it's going to be a thing of the past because it's way too much possible, you know, contamination on many different levels. And,
Well, if we're going to talk about that, I still think that many people have already had it than the coronavirus that didn't even know. So, you know, I think that it's been around
and
a
that
lot
very
longer
well
than
may be true. I'm sure it all started from the buffets. It probably did. It probably did. Damn buffets.
Well, the thing is, like, there's so many activities and so many businesses that rely on not 6 feet of social distancing, like movie theaters. You know, so does that whole thing just go under? You know, it's just it's a very bizarre time because, you know, even though, okay, we're bringing back the movie theaters, people are like, you're sitting, essentially sitting like elbow to elbow with somebody. That's definitely not 6 feet. You know, you can make that list go on and on and on. You know, when they bring the restaurants back, are they going to do them every other booth, every other table? They're going to have to. I guess that's the only way to, like.
Well, I work in that industry. And we haven't gotten word, at least in the area that I work in, as to how we're supposed to do that or when the potential date of returning to business will be. You know, obviously we plan on taking as many precautions and all the necessary precautions as possible. But, you know, when it comes to a place like the fine dining room where I work, there's not a whole lot of space, you know. So if you were to try to space people far apart, you know, at least 6 feet apart from everybody, you know, that's really limiting the amount of people that you can have. I think it's really going to take an impact on restaurants in general, as you said, movie theaters, many different areas. And, you know, and there's really, I guess we'll all have to take notes on how other states who open sooner take those precautions and what needs to be done. Because I really don't know. Is 6 feet enough? You know?
I don't have an answer for any of it. There's certain times that, like, I kind of fluctuate between my mindset on it. Sometimes, like, when I hear certain things, I'm like, yeah, that's completely ridiculous. And then I hear it meaning, like, they're going too far with it, like, the precautions. Mm-hmm. And then I see something else, and I'm like, well, that's completely ridiculous. And they're, like, not going far enough. You know, so I don't know. I don't even have, like, a true stance on anything. It's almost like a situational stance, which I guess that's traditionally my stance in general on pretty much every topic. It's situational. I have very little, there's very certain, not a lot of things that I'm just like universally across the board one way. I'm very situational on pretty much everything. Even when it comes like to politics and everything down the line, a lot of it's situational. But, you know, I've heard stories of a lot of these things, and I think they're going way too far with it. But then, you know, on the flip side, there's some stories that I'm like, wow, even that makes me a little apprehensive to do that or do this. And then you know, it's really bad because I'm pretty loose on my interpretation of everything. So, you know, if I'm like, wow, wait a minute, then usually that's pretty bad.
Right. But just wait till you are able to get out and you go to the store and you have, like, it literally has, like, a route that you have to take. And then it says at the end of the other aisle, do not enter. Like, it's one way. And you have to, like, weave through the entire store. And if you forget something, it's just, like, an actual crisis. Like, oh, no, how do I get back? Do I break the rules or do I have to go all the way through the whole damn store? Just wait till you come out again, because you haven't been able to really go. You know what I mean?
No,
like mobility wise due to your injury. So just wait. It's really awkward.
I don't know what the date was that I actually got injured. I don't know anything. They asked me today when my surgery was. I was like, I don't know. A couple, like 20 days ago, which is crazy to think that. So I guess whatever that Sunday was my last day, like before the accident.
Your last day.
When I didn't snap my leg, it was the tendon that snapped, not my leg, just to clarify that from earlier. But what would that be, like the 5th or something like that? I think maybe the 5th or 6th. I don't know, one of those days. That was the last day I was out. And I went to just a local store, a place called Drug Mart, and I got bags. Which, unconveniently, I popped my trunk to go get the bags, and I never made it out to get the bags, and I left my trunk open for 20 days. So, needless to say, I have a dead battery.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. Wow.
Yeah, I haven't been out in like 3.5 weeks, almost a month, which is bizarre because I'm used to going out like multiple 4 to 5 times a day. And I've made one trip out, or two trips, the surgery trip and then my one trip to the equipment clinic to get my brace. So I've been out 2 days in the past month.
Wow. Yeah, it's weird. Like when I mean, I haven't been home for 20 days or like chips 50 some days. But, for me, being home for 2 days is like, I think my car probably thinks I'm dead or something. My car's like, what? You know, and I saw a post on Facebook. They're getting 3 weeks per gallon, you know, and that's kind of like, you know, if I wasn't going to work, then, yeah, I'd probably be in about 3 weeks per gallon, too, because my car just sits, you know. Where do you go? Now I had to go to the store today, and it was so awkward. They took the joy of shopping away from me. I don't really want to go again.
Well,
online shopping forever.
You're using the investigator for Live Paranormal. It's not always, but like every other weekend, I would say over the past 6 years, we usually stay on some like that kind of trend. And so, like, we're always out or always making the trip to go investigate. And, there's been times we've done four days in a row or 3 days in a row. Or I think that one time we did, like, what, 7 days out of 11. I know there was a lot of
I'm used to doing, like, over 30 days in a row, okay?
Right.
So
well, I mean,
it's really killing me.
Investigating. Yeah.
Well, yeah, no,
and,
yeah.
And going to different places and stuff. And it's just weird that I just thought about it, that I've only been out. And the clinic is like, if I hit the lights right and my mom picked me up, which is weird because I don't think my mom hasn't picked me up from, I can't remember having had time like my mom picked me up when I was telling people at the clinic, oh yeah, my mom picked me up. And I'm like, I don't think I've even said those words in like 25 years. It was just bizarre to even say. I've been down the street. That's all I've been. Like, it's just crazy. But I guess that's what happens.
Life is so different. Just wait. Just wait until you come out again. Okay.
I can't walk.
Right, but wait until you go out because it is just not even. It's just not cool. It's really awkward. Super awkward. Just so you have that to look forward to when you can, you'll be like, oh great.
Well, I'm pretty sure my first outing would probably be some kind of investigation, probably with you for Live Paranormal. So. I'm probably the first day I can drive, I'm going to be like, see ya. Let's go investigate.
Haunted place, so here I come. Ghosts, beware. When this happens, I will be coming to
and
see
I'm completely not joking. That's what I told the doctor today.
Me
I'm
either.
Like, I got to go and got to go fast. I'm like, when's the first time? I'm like, what do you think, a couple of weeks? She started laughing. I hate when people, I come up with like a hopeful like outlook of what I got going on and they laugh. It's happened to
right.
me twice. Now
that's always like
injury.
A big smack in the face. It's like you're being optimistic, and then they totally just burst your bubble. They're like, pew, nope.
Not even like, we'll see.
By the
just
way.
Like start laughing.
Yeah.
I'm like, so what do you think, Doc? A couple weeks?
It hurts.
Just start laughing.
It hurts down,
and
deep
I'm
down
like,
inside. It hurts.
Mm-hmm. He's like 6 to 8. I'm like, so you're saying 4 to 6. He said, okay, maybe we can do 4 to 6. And I was like, all right, we can work on that. So I'm like, and then by the end, I'm like, so what, 3 weeks? He's like, well, just stop. And I'm like, all right. So we'll
you're
see.
Trying to negotiate the ability to go. I understand.
I try to negotiate everything.
Yeah,
yeah I that's my thing. I'm not going to stop now. And I tried. And we'll see how it happens. I have an appointment in 2 weeks. It's like 2.5, 3 weeks, and I'll see if I get the to go ahead. Now, apparently from his point of view, is if I have that brace on and I'm driving and or an accident would happen, I automatically am the person, like, I'm held liable because I have the brace on my leg. I don't even think that's
true. So the question is how fast you can get it off or what?
Yes. How quick I can throw it
I didn't
side.
Mean that. I was just a joke.
Well,
and
so, like, here's the
in
thing.
Reality.
Like, if someone rear-ends you, they wouldn't fault me because I had a brace on. I don't think. That would be insane.
Mm-hmm.
insane stuff.
Well, if you were medically not cleared to drive, then you should abide by what they've told you, obviously. Just because. I mean, it's not like they took your license and said, nope.
No, they have not. So I could really get a car right now. It's just
no.
What kind of
that would be really hard to do with that brace on.
Yeah, the brace is insane. It's like, I don't know, I should measure it. It's got to be over 2 feet tall. It goes from my ankle to my, like, I don't know, inner thigh. It's like thigh area. It's massive.
Yeah, it is. That it is.
Yeah.
Well, tonight has been fun.
Well, I'm glad we got the stories in. And I was being 100% serious. I think we should do a story time because presentation-wise, I can't think of a better presentation than when he gets going and talking about his stories.
Oh, my goodness, I know.
Because,
and he's got some amazing experiences.
Yes.
Yeah, that would be awesome for him to just have the ability to, you know, just go on and share and just, you know, roll with it. I mean, he could do that, and it's like one of those where you're sitting there, and if you're not on air, maybe you've got, like, popcorn and your drink, and you're just waiting for the rest. You're like, oh, my goodness. And they just get better and better.
But, and we're always, like, moderators, not, like, hosts. Just to, like, stand just like, all right, now tell us about this story. You know, like,
yeah.
I think we should – that's right. We should come up with some kind of, like, gimmick behind it where people are just, like – The title, we had to come up with a fancy title where, you know, you would just, like, grab your popcorn, grab your drink, and just sit back and relax and listen to the stories. Like, story time with Chip, but more better.
But the more better. Gosh, your mom's
got to
be proud of that.
The more better version.
The more better one.
Hopefully.
Right.
I don't think she's listening tonight.
Yeah, you better hope not.
No, because usually what happens is I tend to tell people to listen, then I talk bad about them on air. So I guess, you know, I talk a kind of embarrassing story. So at least I didn't do that tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had my mom take me up. Well, that was dumb.
Mm-hmm.
She's such a slow driver. Next thing you know, I was like, hey, did you listen to the show last night?
Then you're going to be like, hey, mom, can you come get me? She's going to be like, nope.
Yep,
try again.
Happen.
That's right. Better watch it. But I'd like to thank everyone for tuning in. Congratulations to the contest winner once again. Be sure to send a message to the email address when we'll send you one. I don't know if we sent it yet, but make sure you reply so we can get that rolling for you.
Don't.
Lucky.
You lost. Yep. All right. Well, we'll talk to everybody. I don't know. I know we have Friday and Saturday, there's some free reading nights. We have a couple other guests that are probably coming on soon. And, you know, stay tuned and keep an eye on social media because that's where we post everything that is relevant to what we do.
And you never know when we're going to go live because we don't even know.
Sometimes we're like, hey, same minute. Yeah,
that's
5 minutes. We're like, the other day, someone was like, hey, there was just a couple of mediums. They're like, hey, it's like mediums. They're like, hey, do you want to go? Let's go. We want to go live right now. We're like, okay. And that was it. We were live.
Right. Yeah.
So that could happen.
It could totally happen. So stay tuned.
Right.
Make sure you have your alerts on so you get your notifications.
Visit liveparanormal.com for all your paranormal psychic needs.
That's right. Take care, everybody. Wash your hands. Bye.
Bye.